This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, you're listening to Good Things, the show where we talk to good people who are doing good things. I'm Dashrin Johan. Alif Naif is one of the most prominent youth leaders / student activists in Malaysia today. He's the president of IIUM's Student Union. He's the chief coordinator of the MUDA and has been one of the key people behind many of the recent protests, including the protests against price hikes held in August. He joins me on the show today to share his story. Welcome to the show, Alif. How are you doing?
Hi, thank you. I'm very excited to be on the show today and to share my experience lah.
Very excited to have you on the show as well. Now, Alif, tell me about the IIUM Student Union and the work and activism that you do there.
Okay, so basically, IIUM Student Union is one of the only two student union in Malaysia and the highest student body in IIUM, our campus, International Islamic University Malaysia. So we were established back in 2019 after the amendment of our KU, which actually allows students to actively participate in politics. So we grabbed that chance. I was part of the earliest conversation during the establishment of IIUM Student Union, where when we grabbed the chance to establish IIUM Student Union, we were supported by the university itself and right. By the former Ministry of Education, Dr. Mazli Malik. So we went to the other universities outside of Malaysia to see what kind of model, because there are no fixed model for a student union. So we went out to see what kind of model that we want to choose and then try to localize it in Malaysian context, in our campus context. And then after we had established, I am actually the third president. The second one to be chosen through an election. The first one is a pro tem committee. Right. And then I'm the second president to be chosen through an election. And so IIUM Student Union actually responsible to cater to all issues pertaining to students in all three campuses of IIUM. So we have like three campuses, Gombak, the main campus, and then Kuantan, and then Pagu. So being the president of IIUM Student Union, I have the responsibility to cater to all these three campuses, juggling between these three campuses in three different states. So what we do is, as a student body, of course, we have to cater to student issues, meaning what kind of problems that they are facing. I think that there is the same as other student body all over Malaysia. However, we are different in some fundamental way. For example, we actually manage our own union. So other student body, they should report to their deputy vice chancellor of student affairs.
Right.
Because they are put under the university's administration. But for us, we are legally registered under the ROS.
Right.
So we have our own bank account. We have our own autonomy. We decide for ourselves. Even if we did not agree to any university's policy, we can go against it publicly without having to face any consequences like maybe some other student bodies are facing in other universities. And we are being heavily involved in many major university meetings. For example, the UMC meeting, the University Management Committee meetings, the Senate meetings. Currently, the university is not deciding for us.
Right.
They are deciding with us. Another thing that we did is actually to become a ground for student development.
Right.
Meaning it's not just for students who join us as part of our committee, our officers, or we usually call it staff members, because we treat ourselves like some sort of a student government.
Right.
So we have officers and then we have staff members and everything. But we also provide ground for the general IIUM student to actually develop themselves. So if they join our programs, we are trying to have more critical discourse. The more controversial it is, the more we celebrate.
Right.
For example, just a few weeks ago, we had a debate between Mahasiswa Muda and also UMNO Siswa.
Right.
Usually, other universities don't provide the ground, or other student bodies don't provide the ground. In fact, these two debaters from Mahasiswa UMNO and Mahasiswa Muda, both of them come from UITM.
Hmm.
And yet, they come to debate in IIUM, because we are the only, I would say, one of the only few universities or student bodies that provide that ground for critical discourse.
Why did y'all decide to tread this path? And why do you think it's very important to provide these platforms? Because as you rightfully put, every university has student councils, student bodies, this and that. But IAUM is very politically engaged. It is very politically active. Why did y'all decide to do this? And why do you think it's important?
I would say in terms of student activism or the one that is the critical part of student activism, right now we have some sort of a vacuum. No one is filling in. Previously, we had previously only UM Student Union. I would honestly say even the previous tenure of IAUM Student Union didn't grab the chance to go into, I would say, critical discourse or doing things that might provide some sort of a challenge to the government.
Right.
So when I first became the president, I saw that IAUM Student Union, both with UM Student Union, should go into this part of student activism. So that is one of the reason, key reason why we go into it. And another reason is that I would like to praise my university, actually. My rector, my deputy rector were all very supportive of this kind of initiative. So I would say it's kind of, it will become a waste if we didn't grab the chance. Even
right.
If you know Protest Baling, the one in the 1970s, the one that Anwar Ibrahim once led the Protest Baling, yep. My rector is actually one of the key person in Protest
right.
Baling. So the whole university right now is in some sense, is a very rebellious or critical university.
Right.
In that sense.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic, right? Because we need, that's fundamentally what education should be about. It should teach people think critically, to dissent and all of that. So I think it's really fantastic. Now, it's not just IAUM Student Union. You're also the chief coordinator of the MUDA, as I mentioned in the introduction. Tell me a little bit about this organization.
So the MUDA, to differentiate with MUDA, is that we established back in 2020, actually also legally registered NGO under ROS. Our full name is actually Social Democrat Organization. So with that name, I would say we bear some sort of ideological responsibility, but it's not a problem because all of our members is actually a part of it. So after Langkah Sheraton, my friends from various political parties, actually, these are political, I would say, students, political activists. They are
right.
all of them are heavily involved in their respective parties. So we come together and see that this is not something that we want. A Malaysian that chose or have a leader that is undemocratically elected.
Right.
Of course, that is debatable in some sense. But for us, we see it that way. So we come together from various parties. Even if on the national level, our parties are not aligned, but on our level, we see that there is a need to come up with an organization that cross parties.
Right.
So we formed the MUDA. At first, it was just, I would say, just a group of friends trying to make some changes as much as we could, even if it is something small.
Mm-hmm.
So we first started, we focus a lot on urban poverty, miskin right. bandar. Mm-hmm. So we wrote articles, we made research, and even go to the ground. We went to most PPR in our area, Gombak, Malawati, and that kind of area. So we went and provide tuitions, we provide food baskets, and then after some time, we actually expand. We had our members in Perak, in Kedah, in Johor. So we do the same kind of thing that we have done in KL. We did the same thing in all these other places. And then over time, when we gain more members, we actually we know that each member has their own, strength.
Right.
So we try to put these people into strategic place. For example, I become the president of IAUM Student Union. One of the key organizations that assists me in terms of my campaign and everything is the MUDA.
Right.
The current Ketua PKR Youth Chief of wilayah, is also a part of the MUDA. So we, every time our friends wanted to, let's say, run in an election or do something that is politically, then the MUDA will provide that ground. And after sometimes, we also try to also provide critical discourse.
Right.
The one that might be, I would say, controversial.
Mm-hmm.
But as I mentioned, just as the same that we did, that I did in IUM student, that's the same thing that we are trying to do in the Muda. So we had a discourse, cross-party discourse on, previously we had regarding employability of the youth together with, I'm one of the panelists. Another is Wan Ahmad Faisal,
mm-hmm.
The Deputy Minister, and then Lim Yee Wei, the Adun of Bukit Tumpu, and also Adam Adli, the youth chief of Keadilan. That is what the Muda is all about.
Alif, when I was talking to, you know, veteran Otai activist Haris Ibrahim a few weeks ago, right, he mentioned something interesting. He says, generally, most of the time, nobody grows up saying, I want to be an activist. Activism is sort of something you stumble into accidentally, and that's where your journey begins. I want to know, is your journey something similar to that? Like, how did you get into activism and when?
Come to think of it, I actually can agree with that statement. So at first, I was not involved in politics or even student activism at all.
Right.
I don't usually care about these kind of things. Mm-hmm. This is not my area. So I would say, if I were to talk a bit more of my personal history,
yes,
is that previously I was an engineering student.
Right.
Currently, I'm a political science student. Previously, I was an engineering student doing my foundation in engineering. I went into my degree life only for one semester, automotive engineering,
mm-hmm.
before I was actually dismissed from the university due to poor academic performances.
Right.
There are some, of course, some mistakes that I did in the past that actually made me have to face the music. So after, when I was dismissed, I stayed home for 1 year, for about 1 year, doing nothing but working and reading.
Right.
So that is the first time I tried to read critically or seriously to become a serious reader. So after I read, I stumbled upon actually philosophy.
Right.
So that sparked my interest in philosophy. So when I went into when I appealed to be readmitted to the university, I requested to be in political science because they have this one specialization in political philosophy. So I went into it. So when I went into philosophy, I stumbled upon Marx, Karl Marx writing, Capital, the Manifesto, and some other early writings of Marx, and also all the other Marxist writings, Gramsci, even Syed Hussein Al-Attas in some sense.
Right.
So after that, when I read, I found in one book, A Critique to Feuerbach, if I'm not mistaken, Marx says something like this. Previously, philosopher always aims to understand the world, but the point is to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it becomes some sort of a wake-up call that I should not just read, but to take action. So how I stumbled into politics or student activism is that after I read it, I try to join politics. Yeah.
What year was this?
I would say 2019.
Okay.
It's not that far ago.
Right.
It's just 2019. I joined Keadilan at first.
Right.
So after I joined Keadilan, I noticed that Keadilan has this youth wing,
mm-hmm.
called Mahasiswa Keadilan. So I joined Mahasiswa Keadilan, ended up being its Secretary General, actually. My last position is that the National Secretary General for Mahasiswa Keadilan. And then, but over time, I'm still learning,
mm-hmm.
at the time. And I see I need to also do something in my own university, not just on the national level. So I resigned from my post, and then I joined student politics inside IIUM, in which I accidentally joined one of the political party newly established, called Congress IIUM, a newly established student political party, in which one interesting thing is that this student political party, Congress, actually have lots of activists from various parties on the national level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of same like the Muda. So Congress, we have some UMNO, PIP, some Amanah, Keadilan, and even Buddha supporters in us. So in few months, I was elected as the new chairman of Congress. So that started the whole journey. That kickstart the journey of in student activism specifically.
Right.
So I tried to manage the student political parties and then try to understand what student politics is all about, which previously I have no idea at all. So over time, I criticized the student union when I was the chairman of Congress. I criticized the student union a lot, actually, for not being heavily involved in social issues.
Right.
Of course, I don't have any problem or issues with the previous union. It's just a criticism that they should act we can actually do better than this. But it seems that they did not meet my expectation, I would say. So I decided to run as the president. Something like, if they can't do it to my expectation, then I'll do it myself.
Right.
So I run in the election and I become the president. And these things that I would say that I'm currently doing is what I aspire the student union to do previously. So I would say that is why I stumble. Yeah, the term stumble actually is the correct term.
Right. Now, Alif, what exactly are you fighting for? What cause are you most passionate about? Because you talk about reading the works of, let's say, Karl Marx and other leftist thinkers from around the world. What did that make you realize? And what are you pushing for exactly?
The thing that I'm pushing for is actually something that is termed intellectual activism. So readings, for example, readings or having public discourse, critical discourse, is not for its own sake. It's not for the sake of just having discourse. But this discourse is for us to understand things better.
Right.
So that our activism has some sort of a guidance towards betterment. For example, if we are to... our cause of activism is urban poverty, for example.
Right.
But you can't be an activist that advocate on solutions or understanding on urban poverty if you yourself don't understand the multidimensional problem of it.
Right.
So intellectualism is something for us to better understand what we are advocating for. So I would say one of the things that I was most passionate about is this kind of thing. In fact, even before I joined student politics, me and my friends, we established a group called Virtue to advocate on intellectual activism. At the time, it was just all about discourse and readings. We even had a debate on last year's budget 2020. We call Prof Jomo and also YB Amin of Kanga to have a debate because both of them had differences in terms of economic understanding. So those are the things that we are trying to do. So when I go into the Muda or when I go into student union, these are still the things that I wanted people to understand.
Right.
That when you are advocating on something, you need to have foremost the understanding of it.
Right.
Else you are jeopardizing the whole cause, I would say.
On the show with me today is Alif Naif, president of IIUM Student Union. After the break, I ask him why it's important for young people to be politically engaged. Keep it here on Good Things, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Good Things. I'm Darshan Johan, and on the show with me today is Alif Naif, president of IIUM Student Union. So, Alif, what are some of the challenges that you face as a student activist?
Of course, I would say the challenges comes from our structure of handling student activists. For example, the law that we have about it.
Right.
Whatever institutions that are actually being established to curb student activism. I'm not saying about university per se, because okay, I might have different point of view on this, because my university is being very supportive.
Right.
Even when I was charged in court, the lecturers come up with a statement supporting me, which is something very peculiar to most student groups. But still, one university alone doesn't mean the whole institution is the same. Because one of the challenges being a student activist is that other institutions does not provide this kind of thing. So it doesn't provide a holistic ecosystem. My university alone supporting this kind of initiative is not an ecosystem. The whole higher education institutions, let's say other universities, UITM, UM, UNIZA, or whatever other universities here in Malaysia should support. Because let's say, it cannot be just IIUM student going to a protest.
Right.
It must be students from various universities so that we it's a show of solidarity. Mm-hmm. But when my friends from other university go to a protest, for example, or not even a protest, even if it's just a speaker's corner, there are consequences that they have to face. One of my friends, Rifaya, when she went into protest, there are, I would say, threats that she cannot take her exam mm-hmm. just because of her involvement, which is not fair. But that is on the university level. But on a higher level, we still have this AUKU, the ACTA University, in which they are still improved. Let's say with the new guidelines, said that students cannot have political discourse. Just discourse. It's not a political rally or anything.
Right.
Just discourse inside university without having the written approval from the university. So I went to the ministry actually to say my disagreement, disapproval of these new guidelines. I was invited in a roundtable discussion on the spot to say whatever that I'm not satisfied. And when I go back to my university, I went into the Senate meeting and reiterate back. And then the university supported it, of course. But as I mentioned, it's not, it won't make a big or significant differences if just one university that allow this kind of discourse. And there is law. But there are also, I would say, threats from people in power. Comes to my office here,
right.
In the background, I am student union's office, come to my office, sat down with me, and then threatened me to suspend me from my university, suspend me from my study.
Right.
So those are the challenges. Come face to face and then threaten me and everything. But because IUM support this, so they can't bring it anywhere. Those are, I would say, just few challenges lah. There are other challenges. If I may add a bit more,
yes.
It's also the cultural challenges that is being faced, both within student groups and outside student groups. So from outside student groups, every time there are students who actually go out and voice, not just for the students, but for the whole society, there are some sort of a negative comments, I would say. Of course, it shouldn't be or it shouldn't disturb me personally much, but it might disturb some other student activists that wanted to join. Some said, oh, your father or your mother sent you to the university to learn, get your degree, not to do protests, not to be political and everything. These are some sort of a distorted understandings that I would say a small segment of society actually have.
Right.
And within students, there are also that kind of attitude. Seeing that what these student activists are doing, going out to protest, even if the protest is for the betterment or for the benefits of the whole students.
Right.
And yet there are students who disagree with it. I don't mind about disagreement, but to lower down morale, for example, or the spirit of other student activists, it might be a bit disturbing that students themselves have this kind of mentality.
Absolutely. And where do you think this mentality stems from? And are you noticing some differences in perhaps in the past 3, 4, 5 years maybe? Because if you look at our parents' generation, for example, they grew up under the Tun M's first tenure as Prime Minister. And over the 20 years period or so, that entire generation has that keep your heads down, mind your own business, why are you getting political, that whole mindset.
Even before that, when he was the Minister of Education,
yes,
he's the one who imposed AUKU.
Mm-hmm.
So our parents or the subsequent generation that comes after that grow up under the threat of AUKU. But of course, they will face, I would say, heavier consequences compared to what I'm facing now. We are not talking about just being charged in court. We are talking about might be put in jail without representation under ISA or things like that.
Absolutely.
And these are not isolated cases, mm-hmm. right? So over time, these generations or even subsequent generations that doesn't face the consequences still bear this mentality because it is historical problem, I would say, that is the term is historical continuity. There are historical continuity that are still intimidates us, even if our coup, in some sense, has been amended. So during Adam Adili's time, for example, they are still under the threat of coup, even at the peak of the previous regime's right. power. And yet they still go out because they have this, I would say, a common goal, a very clear common goal, whether it is our coup or 1MDB at the time. Mm-hmm. For students, of course, they went out against our coup. Adam or Anis Shafiqah, Suhail Azhar, Ashik Ali.
Right.
Those people are they have clear goals. That is AUKU. And also 1MDB in mm-hmm. some sense. So over time, AUKU was already amended. The students, that's why we are being established. The students now feel like we are being liberated to go out into the political scenes and whatnot. So we don't recognize same challenges anymore.
Right.
Or our common challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And then when this new government who might disagree with this unionism, student unionism, or disagree with the amendment of AUKU, so they try to impose it back, right? But these students right now, I would say still bear in mind that we are still being liberated, not assessing the future problems that might arise from this. So there are no common goal or common challenges or common problem that actually bind the student.
You were recently investigated by the police for a peaceful protest. Tell me a little bit about the protest and why you were subsequently investigated.
The protest that I was investigated on is actually the Turun protest,
mm-hmm.
In which the main focus or the main issue is regarding the hike in prices. Food prices, good prices, and also the inflation. So at first, I think it's just a few weeks after I was being elected as the president. So after that, actually, when I was campaigning inside of IUM, when I went to students and to ask for their problems that I have, that I need to take note of, so that when I become the president, these are the problems that I should cater to. So one of the common issues during my assessment last time was the issue of food prices inside mm-hmm. campus. And that makes me think, because campus or campuses should be the place where food is not that expensive. It should be at a price that students can afford.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the students students are complaining about the food prices inside campuses. So, of course, we also went to these cafes, vendors, these people. So, we were brought to an understanding that it's not a problem inside campus. It's a problem outside of campus ground. Because, I mean, these vendors or cafe operators, they have to buy their raw materials
right.
From outside.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say if the raw material from outside is very expensive, so they have to increase prices to accommodate their price.
Mm-hmm.
So I met with Goshen, the president of UM Student Union, and discussed if he also faced the same problem inside his campus. And it seems that it's not something that only these two campuses are facing. We also receive reports from UITM, UPM. So it's a growing issue at the time. And we need to do something because the government doesn't say anything about it at the time, at all. So we come up with a statement saying that the government, at first we just come up with a statement saying that the government should do something or else we will take the streets.
Right.
At first I was thinking, is this really the thing that that I'm going to do? Actually, because at the time, we were talking about like few years gap between the last student protest,
right,
or the last time that student go out to the street. So I was thinking, is this really are we really going to bring this kind of activism back? So after discussing with Goshen and some other student groups, we agree that let's do this. So we come up with a statement first. In which we first did a press conference inside IUM in front of the student union building. And after that, the government still doesn't come up with a proper way of accommodating things. So I said to Goshen, we should not just make our threat or our previous threat something that is some kind of a false threat. Make it real. So that is why we organized first speaker's corner. Actually, it's just a speaker's corner. No protests and everything. No harm in student actually go out and speak. And we did at Pasar Seni. And yet we were investigated for it. So I said to my friend, we could not allow this. This involved our dignity as students, our rights as students to voice out. And it also shows that the government care more about students voicing out rather than the things that we are saying.
Right.
We are voicing out.
Right.
So that is why we actually go and meet other student groups, and then we went to civil societies, to even political parties, and invite them together. That guys, we wanted to do this, and we need support. So that is why Turun, for example, if you see, it's not just about students. It is also about political parties and civil societies coming down together in front of Sogu and voicing out their concerns. Of course, we don't have any problem because it is a political problem. So if political parties, let's say, wanted to have a say, go on. It's a society problem. So civil societies wanted to have a say, go on. And it is a student problem. Hence, why students are also became a major part in the Turun protest. So I would say that is how, that is the inception of the protest that I was investigating on.
What gives you the courage? Because you know that, especially as a student, there may be consequences that you face, despite the fact that your university supports you, right? I think that's great. But there are other challenges that you face. You have to go up against the police, you have to be investigated, so on and so forth. What gives you the courage to do this?
I would say first and foremost, what gives me the courage is that my understanding on, as I mentioned, when I was in the Muda, my research mostly revolved around urban poverty and the effects of poverty. So the same thing is actually happening inside my own campuses with happening to students in which I'm responsible on. These students are under my responsibility. So when these students, my friends, I would say, mention about they themselves have to maybe eat like once a day just to, you know, to manage their own finance.
Right.
So I would say these stories, this real problem that my friends are facing provide me some sort of a courage, because in any case, if I were to succeed, let's say, in pressuring the government to take actions, then those benefits will be celebrated, or the benefits can go to like thousands of students. And if I were investigated, at the time, I mean, hypothetically, at the time, I was still thinking, if I were to be investigated, it's just me and me alone.
Right.
So comparing like thousands of students, the benefit that they will face, and then just one person being investigated. So I would say that's a good cost-benefit analysis. So first give me courage, and the second thing is a show of solidarity from my
right.
friends. As I mentioned, I went to UM to meet the political parties, the mm-hmm. student political parties there. I went and meet my student political parties inside UM and other student groups, whether it is on a national level or campus level. When there is a show of solidarity, I know that I am not alone. Of course, even if I was charged alone or being investigated alone, I know that this group will still support
right.
The cause.
Mm-hmm.
Even if, let's say, hypothetically speaking, let's say I was being put in jail, for example, I know that these students will still carry on the cause, because it's not about me and me alone. It's about the idea that we are bringing at the time, or the cause that we are fighting for.
Right.
So after thinking all of that, I think I should not be afraid of doing, because in any case, I'm more afraid of the idea dying out rather than being investigated or being charged.
Right. And how do your parents feel about all of this? Because you're still a student. Like you said, the many Malaysian parents, the mindset is you go to school, you keep your head down, you do your work, you get your good grades, and you graduate and you work. Why don't get involved and things like that? What are your parents like when it comes to this?
Yeah, just as the same as you mentioned just now. I mean, being a Malaysian parent, of course, they will think the same thing, mm. that I should just focus on IUM, specifically because I'm the president of IUM Student Union, not the president of the whole Malaysian students. But after, I would say, clarification session with my parents, I firmly said that I respect them as parents. I understand their concerns, I take their advice, but still, I think I have bigger responsibility than that. And I firmly said that I will still do it. Even if you did not allow me to do it, or you are angry with me. Of course, they did not angry. They are just concerned, man. I mean, concerned parents. Even if you have your concern and everything, I know what I'm doing is something that should be done. Someone must take the someone must take the mantle
right.
to do it. So after some time, my parents actually understand. Of course, they understand it gradually. At first, when I was charged, they were very, very concerned. Even when we talk about protests, they're already concerned. What more when I was being investigated
right.
and being charged? They are concerned, but they gradually accept it that this is what I'm doing, and they understand that I wouldn't stop even if they are angry or concerned or anything.
Fantastic. Before we wrap this conversation up, Alif, what advice would you give, or what message would you give young people who are listening on the importance of youth participation in politics?
I would say that, of course, I understand the challenges that the students are currently facing. In fact, our friends who are very keen to go to the protest, but they couldn't do it due to some challenges. Of course, as you mentioned, parents, or scholarship,
right?
Or the laws being unjustly imposed on them. I would say that the authorities. The authorities can do whatever they want to suppress the students. But if we keep on going out and voicing out and not being afraid of them, they can't actually do anything, because the authorities govern based on fear and fear alone. So if you do not fear them, even if they come to your university to threaten you, even if they charge you in court, if you don't fear them, they don't have any power over you. It's the relationship that that you decide with them are the one, it is the one that give them real power. So right. If you have a relationship such as a docile group and then the authorities, of course they will have power over you. But if, let's say, a group of students coming together in solidarity in large number, let's say, the authorities doesn't have real power to actually do something. They might charge you in court. But let's see, if there are 10,000 students coming together, they could not charge all 10,000 all together. They must like have one or two key persons that they would like or they wanted to charge. So I would say the benefits outweigh the cost. So I would say the more students coming together, the more strength that we have, and then the less we have to feel for coming up or being actively involved in politics.
And on that note, thank you so much for joining me today, Alif.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm very much happy to share these stories.
That was Alif Naif, the president of IIUM Student Union. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can also check us out on podcasts. We're available on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Darshan Johan, and this has been Good Things, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.